Hey folks, this is Matt with Saturday Morning Cinema. Just a quick heads up before we start the show. This is End of Evangelion is an R-rated movie. It's going to cover sensitive topics such as abuse, sexual assault, things of that nature. This is just a content warning so that you're aware of these things. If you're uncomfortable with these subjects, feel free to skip this episode. But I just figured I should put a warning up front. Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cinema, a podcast about movies based on cartoons where we try to answer two very simple questions. Is this a good movie and is this a good adaptation of the cartoon it's based on? I'm your host, Matt S. The S stands for Sele.
And I just went on, and I'm Jolson. I have no funny things. I'm just gonna preface this. This is being released on, or we're aiming to release this on Election Day, and this was my bright idea, because Matt has been bugging me since, I think, the Netflix release, which was like 2 years ago, almost.
I think it was a year ago, I want to say.
When the Netflix garbage version of Evangelion, I'm saying it right.
Yes.
Released, and I was like, I'm gonna watch this, and you went, no, you're not watching that. So he hooked me up with a very legal cut, because you can't find that. It is very legal. We both subscribe to Netflix, so we do have access to it.
Yeah,
but
I have the original ADV dub, which I look. This is a show I don't watch dubbed. Of the two dubs, I prefer the ADV dub, but I'm a subs guy 99% of the time.
I'm a dubs guy because I don't watch anime. It scares me.
How you feeling now after watching this
one? Fucking, I am sticking to Fanboy and Chum Chum. But I decided, because all I know about Evangelion is it has robots, and the ending is dark as hell. And I was like, cool, might as well cover this for the fucking election, because this is my bright idea, and I don't know the shit I'm getting into.
Yeah, we felt like it fit the mood, because, we're recording this the Sunday before the election, and if you're living in if you're living in America right now, it feels like the world is burning down.
And I was like, haha. So I was, this episode is even recommended against my medical professional, because I told my therapist I was doing this, and she's like, are you sure this is a good idea? Like, she knows how nervous I get with elections, so she was like, are you sure you can, like, just put that in a box and not, like, make that go into overload? And I'm like, yep. So, and I'm just trying to tell her, like, the most cinephile garbage ass, this will enhance my viewing experience type shit, and she's like, I know it will, I know you've done this in the past and it didn't work. So why are you doing this? Because I was like day one of Joker, I was like, I'm seeing this opening day, because fuck the media and the I'm not being afraid. And then I got there and I was like, I want to leave, this is scary. But
it's funny, yeah, how overblown that was too.
God, yeah. I am hoping that the same thing happens with the election violence. Boy, I am like,
yeah,
please be another Joker situation. I don't think it will.
Shit's about to get bad, and maybe, you know, it feels like a good time for maybe all of us to just dissolve into Tang and absorb into one giant being, you know. Maybe that's what needs to happen. instead.
This is kind of gonna also be, like, the first part of this is probably just gonna be, like, my mini review of the show, because I hadn't seen the show as well. And I crammed the show into a week. And really, that week was this weekend. So I watched about 12 hours of this anime in a week. Really, 4 days.
Which,
and
I think I did,
not recommend.
I think I did that. I think I did it in about the same time frame when I first watched this show when I was like 16, which is probably that feels like the ideal age to see this for the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would recommend, like, this is, I would not recommend this for like a kid or a 12-year-old, but like I would say high school. Like I was telling him, I hope that they teach a class on this eventually, but I think this could be a very good formal years, like, you're getting to know what your tastes are.
Yes. Yeah. This is like your first kind of quote unquote like highbrow piece of cinema, I guess.
It's Kino.
Yes. I want to like say up front, I do love this movie a lot. I think Evangelion is a series, a franchise that has a lot of problems. Its creator,
we will get into those.
Its creator very much poured himself into the work and all of his hang-ups. Some of them are a little, you know, this was a show made in 1995, and it feels in some ways very 1995 in its politics and its treatment.
Everybody's Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it's, but I think that there is enough of value here, and I think like the eccentricities of its creator are interesting enough that it to me makes the experience better. Like, I like that this feels so personal for what ended up being like such a huge franchise.
Or really, for it being a franchise, it's more of a gambling outlet from what we learned. The bulk of this franchise is money. 11.9 billion of this franchise is income. I think
like
17 to more than half of this series income. Pachinko. Pachinko, if you don't know, it's the thing that ruined Konami. It is the gambling fad, not really fad.
It's a decades long institution.
Yeah. We have the weird dog races. They have pachinko.
They got a little. It's like pinball, but with no skill.
It's Plunko. Yes. Or
Plinko.
But yeah,
is it Plinko? Plunko? I
think it's the one that Drew Carey does on Price is Right.
Yeah.
But overall, the series was good. Which hot take? And I think I'll probably look through our DMs, because the trip I went on...
Because you knew nothing about this before going into it.
No. I knew literally just the memes, like the just the
like Get in the Robot.
Yup. Congratulations.
And that's about it.
And I also knew the final shot of End.
Right.
Because that's done.
Yeah,
it's been
like remixed and parodied a million times, so it's
and that's really it. All I know is it's this series that takes a wild turn for the worst
for the characters.
The characters, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a gotcha. It's like, ah, you thought this was gonna be a normal show with robots, but no, I liked it. I think that there are some major problems that, especially when it comes to sexuality, which, ugh,
yes,
that is, when it comes to this show, that is where my hang up comes on, is its relationship with sexuality.
Yes. It is a central theme of this show, I would say. And I think in certain instances, it handles it with a lot of nuance and a lot of like introspection, and I think
I talked about like the I'm gonna need a list of characters. Misagi, is that right, the mother figure?
Misato, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Her sex scene, I think, is one of the most artistically done.
Yeah, are you talking about the one in End of Eva?
No, the one close to, like, within the final episode. With,
okay.
With her and Kaji.
Right.
With her and Kaji.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it is a long shot of just the whiskey glass and cigarettes.
Right.
Which I think is artfully done. And then there are moments where I'm just like, please no. Please stop. Stop.
Yes.
Why are you doing this?
In a lot of ways, this show is sort of taking on the tropes and the sort of cliches of this genre of like giant robot anime and like these sort of shonen like power fantasies of, you know, like the 14-year-old kid that saves the world and is, you know, surrounded by women who love him and that kind of thing. And in some ways, it does a good job of sort of deconstructing that setup, that premise. And then
it just plays into it.
Right. And other times it wants to sort of indulge in those things.
It wants to have its cake and also write a thesis on it.
Right.
I think overall it does really well. I think its themes of religion, as someone who, again, I think that's where like being a 16-year-old and watching this would be very formative. Because right then is when you're like, if you're religious, you go, huh.
Right. Yeah. That is.
What am I?
Yeah. That's the age where you're like, is this what I believe? I don't know.
And I think it needs to be watched multiple times. I know I didn't get all of it the first time. Especially the back half.
Yes. Yeah, it gets dense.
Because it is a show that demands your attention. You cannot, like, take your eyes off it and then go back. It took me the final episodes, 24 and 25, no, 25, 26, are 20 minutes long, took me about an hour to watch both. And yeah. I think that's, again, and I told you that, and you were like, yeah, that's normal.
Oh, yeah, there is so much going on in those final two episodes. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to rewatch the series for this. I have seen it all the way through a couple of times. First time being back when I was in high school, I found like fan subs online and watched those because the show, for the longest time, has not been legally available at all in the United States.
Which is fucking bullshit.
Right. If you wanted to watch this show from like 2005 to last year in the United States, you had to find a pirated copy because it did not exist here, or you had to
and even now it is the not the best way to watch it is the with the Netflix versions.
Yes. No, because
if you're watching dubbed,
it is not like unacceptable. It like the dub is, I'm not a fan of the new Netflix dub. I think the direction is weak. I think like the actors are doing fine with what they're given, but it feels
it's the changes. I think the big one is Karu and the I love you. As yes. Someone who is Pan and going, did it get changed to I like you?
It was or it was a weird like specific thing.
It wasn't. It had nothing to do with, like, love.
It was like, it went from, it means I love you to, it means you are worthy of my grace, which is, like, what?
It is, as someone who just watched Karu for 5 minutes, you can instantly tell he is gay. And I think in the 90s, it was important that they had characters who were not straight, because there are multiple moments that are very not straight in the series and aren't played for laughs. And I think that was, it's very important that a series got released in the 90s with that, when the mainstream was still being acceptable to have gay characters be made fun of. And yeah. I think it's important that, yeah, sure, in like a vacuum, that doesn't seem like a huge change, but overall it's kind of stepping all over history in a that history that was positive, and just based on the person who made that change, it looks bad.
Right. The change itself in isolation, I don't think, would have gotten people as upset if it weren't taken in combination with several other changes. Like we mentioned, I was talking to you about it. There's the moment like where there's a TV broadcast that's talking about like a terrorist attack, and the new translation changes it to be about leftist terrorists, which like theoretically could be extrapolated from the original, but is not really the intent.
Also, it just doesn't feel like the government would say that.
Yes, well, would you say that? But
well, at the no, time. In the government in this
right
in this world,
right? Like,
because
within the context of the world in which Evangelion takes place, like, what does that even mean anymore?
It doesn't even feel like there is a. It feels like the government isn't an elected thing. It just feels like there are people who control the world. That's it.
Right, right. Like I don't know. It's a weird thing. And then the translator himself has some weird views. He has a blog that I guess if you want some insight into him and his views, you could read that. But it's kind of like I don't want to get too into it, but.
Does he file into the Chuck Wingdings crowd?
No, actually.
Ooh. No. No.
He's further right, I would say.
Oh.
I don't want to get too into it because I haven't like extensively done research on it. But like, you know, there's enough there to where certain changes made feel a little like not great. Not great. Mm-hmm. We don't know the intent, but like
there
inferring
is...
the intent is, yeah.
Yikes. So end of Evangelion or Evangelion. I will try to go with the proper pronunciation, but it has always been Evangelion to me, and that's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's you could go either way, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie, I don't know how to approach this movie necessarily, because it's not hugely plot-based, really. The plot that is here is a continuation directly from the end of episode 24 of the show.
Yeah, it's so hard to describe this, just because it's very emotional. It is a philosophy class.
Yes. This is... I think it's fair to call this an art film. By the end, it is basically abandoned any sort of semblance of traditional narrative structure, I would say.
There is a certain point where the plot doesn't matter anymore.
Yes.
Or the plot has... This is the end... What is from here, you infer.
Yes.
And...
No, sorry, go ahead.
I really admire that direction. I think it is risky. The closest I've seen to an art film in, like, the last few months was... stuff by, like, Gaspard Noir. And... It just kind of feels that it fits into that crowd of it is your role to figure out what this is about.
Yes. And there's a lot of interpretations of this movie. There are some that are fairly high profile that I kind of disagree with.
I haven't had time to look at anything. I literally finished the movie less than 20 minutes ago.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I did not. I literally finished the film, used the bathroom, came in, record. I had no time to think about this because I didn't.
So
I didn't. This is fresh.
We're getting fresh takes here.
Yeah.
Just to sort of lay a little bit of groundwork, this came after the end of the series. The series started in 1995. I want to say it wrapped up in late 95, early 96. I'd have to look specifically at the dates, but this movie came out in 97. The last two episodes of the series And there's, you know, debate about why exactly it went this way, but the last two episodes of the series do not address any of the plot of the preceding 24 episodes and are purely a sort of internal character study of the central characters, with very little animation, a lot of reused animation, sort of mixed medium stuff. The response to those two episodes was mixed, to say the least, among fans. And there's...
Those fans are idiots.
Yeah, I really like the series ending. I like this a lot,
This
too.
Is our shit. This is our shtick, is whenever a bad thing of a beloved series comes out, we're like, yeah, that was great.
if there's a thing in a franchise that a large portion of the fan base doesn't like, there's a good chance that we are fans of it.
Or find it, like, the best of...
Yes.
Like, The Last Jedi is what... one of our most discussed films between ourselves, and we're like, this fucking rocks.
It's me, the Alien Covenant defender. But yeah.
Fucking Venom.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of sort of hearsay about the production of this movie. There's, you know, it kind of became accepted over time that, like, oh, this was made in response to the sort of fan backlash to the final two episodes, and that's why it that's why it's as sort of aggressively downbeat as it is.
I fucking love that.
Yeah,
the most fuck you answer. It would be like the last, if The Last Jedi was followed with The Rise of Skywalker, except the beginning 10 minutes kills every classic character.
Yes.
And the movie is just Rose.
Yeah.
And I would applaud the hell out of it.
Honestly. Yeah, and like, I think the movie does lend some credence to that. I don't know how true that actually is. There are sort of like concept art and things from around the time the show was in production that suggests that this movie in some form was planned before the end of the series. I don't know if this was like, these were the intended final two episodes that they just didn't have the budget for, or if this was made in response. The history around that is kind of muddy. And
I think that the creator,
Hideaki Anno.
I think when you're making those last two episodes, you have to know the response you're going to get.
Yes.
I think that he got the response he was expecting. And just as someone who has never looked into him, I think if you're making those two episodes, you know they are going to be controversial.
Yes.
Because they are being made as because of the limitations of a budget.
Yes. And it is like, when you spend 24 episodes getting people invested in a plot that very much has like material stakes for the characters and the world they inhabit, and then to sort of suddenly jettison all of that at the last minute, I mean, it works for me because ultimately the characters are what I care about, but I like, it is entirely understandable why it would not work for someone.
And I can see why this movie wouldn't work for people. I think it's a very aggressive movie.
Yes, this movie took me like 3 or 4 watches to really get into it. There was a point in time where I basically rejected this movie and accepted the TV ending as the only canon ending. I didn't care about End of Evangelion. But I think the more I've watched it, the more I think you kind of can't have one of those endings without the other.
They feel like two sides of a coin. Almost. It is, what is your accepted ending?
Yes. And I think, like, also, because this is my theory, there's never been anything confirming this. We don't know for sure what the intent was, and I like that that's a little ambiguous, but the generally accepted theory is that 25 and 26 of the series are what is taking place within the minds of the characters during the events of End of Evangelion. Which I think that's fine. I think that totally works. And I think in particular the end of 26 and the end of this movie are a really interesting sort of dichotomy. But we'll get to that. But
I feel like we're trying to dodge the beginning of this film.
Yeah, the beginning of this movie is rough, and I will have recorded like a content warning to put at the front of this later on. But yeah, this movie digs into some heavy shit. So you know, be warned in advance. This movie opens with a sexual assault.
Yo, what the fuck were you thinking when you were making this shit? I went into this shit fucking blind. I wasn't told about this shit. What the fuck are you doing over there? What the fuck? Why did you show me that? You didn't need to show me that. I could have gone my whole life without being shown that first 5 minutes. You didn't need to. This feels like I'm on a fucking watch list right now, and I don't like it. I feel like my trust was violated.
It's bad. From the perspective of the characters, it's bad. I think it is effective in showing like just how far Shinji has fallen, and just I think it's important to set the sort of the baseline for his character in this movie, because the thing that this movie really dives into that the show sort of does in its finale, but like kind of steps around it, is that Shinji sucks. Shinji really sucks.
Nearly everyone in this series sucks to a degree.
Yes, that is that. Like one of the most interesting things about this show, in my opinion, is the fact that like there's no one here that is unambiguously good. There's no one here that is.
You know who is though.
Oh, right. Of course.
That motherfucker Penpen.
Penpen is pure. Penpen, we must protect.
I would only the only person other close to like good is like Rey, where she just the fact that Rey has no choice.
Right.
She is the only character that legit has no choice. Her choice has been taken away.
Right. Until basically the end of this movie, she has no real agency as a character, and thus like whatever decisions she makes are kind of out of her hands. But yeah, everyone in this show is fucked up, has some kind of trauma that they are carrying, and influences their decisions and causes them to do some bad shit. And I like that about this show. I like that there is no one who is like a hero. I like that everyone in this show has problems and has like real sort of I don't know if I want to say realistic, but like yeah, like
understandable.
Yes, understandable, like human trauma that ultimately is kind of what this series is about.
The beginning is very heavy. I didn't mean to play it off as a joke. It's just that was my legit feeling.
No. It's entirely understandable. It's upsetting.
I think that because to this point in the series, when it came to nudity, I kind of went, okay, this is kind of acceptable when they showed full body shots because they did not show genitalia. It was literally like the figure. But in this instance, you do see genitalia. And I think that's it feels like it's too far. And I've always been one where I'm like, if you need to do something for art, I get it, but like this is my line. When it comes to children.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. I think that is entirely understandable. I think that that yeah, there is an argument to be made that this is crossing a line. I do think that if you were going to tackle this kind of subject matter, I think animation is a better way to do it.
Yeah, and we had this conversation over DMs because this is also like recording 2020. The cuties controversy happened.
Yeah, which I think like that is I haven't seen that movie, but I think like the central idea of that movie and the way that it appears to have gone about it, I think like its intentions are in the right place, but I think that's a bad way to handle that subject matter.
It's like whenever they want to make an adaptation of Brave New World, it just feels like you cannot get what that book is trying to do on the screen.
Fun fact, I think they just recently did.
They did, but they cut all that, yeah. I think.
Written by Grant Morrison, which, like, I gotta watch that thing.
Yeah, wasn't it for, like, it was for some subscription service.
Yeah, I don't know, Peacock or one of those.
Oh, it was Peacock.
God.
Ugh.
They gotta change that name. I mean, like...
Peacock!
Bad name for your streaming service, especially when there's already so many. No one's gonna tell their friends to sign up for Peacock.
Like, I barely tell anybody to sign up for HBO Max.
I've not recommended it once to anyone. And I haven't.
We own all the fucking subscription services. We are likely the only two Apple TV subscribers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're giving...
Not for long.
Well, they're giving a year away free with their new phones.
I don't know how many people register.
Which is the only reason I have it. Yeah, you do have to register willingly.
Yeah, the only reason I have it is... it is $5, and it comes with the student Apple Music. And I'm like, alright, so I can... Like, $5 a month is a deal for me, and I don't even use Apple Music. I just will literally... The only thing I use for Apple Music is literally, hey, Siri... When I'm in the shower, I'm like, hey, Siri, play this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to touch my phone. And also, I got the... What was on Apple TV recently that was... The Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, yeah. That thing.
Yeah.
I keep mixing that up with, like, the other... Like, it looks like every
Captain,
sort of...
It's Captain Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like Captain Phillips.
So, yeah, we're dodging this fucking movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't think, like... I don't know. A plot-based approach doesn't seem like the right way to go for this.
But I'm just gonna say, like, my, like, baseline, what I got from the first viewing. The biggest thing I got was the thing that sticks with me is the religious imagery. I think that, but I feel like that is the baseline interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing that sort of stands out on first viewing because
it's so prominent.
It's so prominent, and we're so unaccustomed to seeing that imagery used in this way. Because, like, sort of Western media and Western culture kind of, we're used to taking other people's mythologies and sort of recontextualizing them through pop
and
culture.
And making the funny ha-has out of it.
Right. Like an entire corner of the Marvel universe is based on like some people's actual religion and we just kind of go along with it. We're not used
to... the most popular games at the moment was a former... is a religion that still some people believe in. Hades.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, Greek mythology is like the ultimate like go-to example because that has been like remixed and parodied and adapted. I mean, like maybe more than any other mythology in the Western world.
And I think that it's so accessible is because one, we've all accepted, okay, there's not enough people currently practicing this. That right. We can use it.
Right.
And The other is it's totally interpreter. Like you can play around with it.
Yes.
You can, because of the nobody's playing with it, and also these stories aren't well known. Like people have like they know the characters, or an idea of like Zeus, lightning, Poseidon, water.
Yeah, there's not as much of a agreed upon, like, sort of doctrine.
Narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the Bible, Christianity, there is.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
And if there, the divisions, there are the big three divisions of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they still kind of agree on a lot of baseline things. In terms of the story,
yeah, and like, this show, like, I mean, it's fascinating to me because, the show sort of like, and this is like a famous thing about Evangelion, like, a lot, if not most of the biblical imagery is basically like nonsense. It is, they wanted some cool images to back up their internal mythology, and they went with Christianity because, hey, like, that's not done very often. It looks
also
neat. Crosses are cool.
And Japan doesn't have the big Christianity.
Right. There are Christians in Japan, but it is not the dominant religion there.
It's a million was when I looked up, and that's a very small fraction.
Right.
So it would still be very much, for the majority of those audiences, pretty foreign.
Yeah. So, and so I find that interesting, because looking at it from an American perspective, like, it almost, like, you see the way that this show uses things like crosses, and you have to kind of imagine that it is how, like, Japanese people feel when someone in America, like, tattoos a random kanji on their back with no idea what it means.
And just the, also how it takes like it the very baseline things like Adam and Eve is the big one that is throughout the series, where it's Eva came from Adam.
Yeah.
Because of the rib.
Yeah, they do like sort of play with it in some smart ways. Whether it is like woven into the themes of the show is something that is, you know, still being debated 25 years later.
Which I love. I love that it is still debated. I bet it gets tiresome, but
oh yeah,
I still love that a piece of media can do that.
Yeah, there.
It's just impressive.
Yeah, there is the fact that this became so popular when there is like so much going on with it and so much to unpack, and like, you know, and to get this out of the way, like, we are not going to get to all of it in this episode. There's no way. We are not going to have like the definitive take on Evangelion, because it's like, it's not possible.
And that's kind of beautiful about it, is there is no definitive take. And that's kind of what I've had a problem with creators, is whenever there's something ambiguous, they always just, like, some creators will just go, and it's their right to do that, they'll just go, oh, it's blank.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a tendency that some, like, I feel like it's mostly, like, younger authors now, mm-hmm. people who have, like, been brought up in the social media age, who kind of have this inability to step away from their own work. And it's not everyone, but there are, like, prominent people who do this who are just, like, especially if it's unpopular, especially if the media is, like widely criticized.
It's, like, I think, even, like, later, like, I think King has a problem with it. When it came to, like, The Shining. Oh. He has a problem.
Yeah, and that one's a weird, it's like a messy situation, because he doesn't like the Kubrick movie, but the Kubrick movie is what most people are familiar with, and
he has to like play along with it if he wants to like have a popular sequel.
Right, right.
But yeah, like, I like that Evangelion, that Anno has sort of, I don't want to say distance himself, because he's still very much involved in the franchise, but he has not been, like, forthcoming with answers about what the show means and its intent. And
also, his answers have been coming in the form of movies.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the rebuilds eventually. Someday that fourth movie will come out, like, the world will allow it to come out.
We all get out of the red blood river.
Yes. When COVID finally passes and we emerge from the sea of LCL, we'll COVID, finally...
COVID 18 plus one.
you cannot socially distance. Yeah, someday that fourth movie will come out, and, like, the rebuilds are really interesting, and I feel like the sort of the meaning behind those are not, like, we don't know enough yet. We need that final movie.
I have not looked into these. They're just know that
fascinating. You should watch them.
I am. I plan to after the election.
Yeah, just don't expect to, like, don't expect to, like, get what Anno is doing yet, because that fourth movie
I respect that. I hope the fourth movie just throws in more questions. It's...
Yeah.
I wish... The only thing I wish Anno did was what David Lynch does and run a YouTube channel that has nothing to do. Where it's just... David Lynch's YouTube. Highly recommend. It's him just looking outside and doing the weather. Yeah, it's great. It's literally David Lynch. It's his weather of the day. And also he'll pick a number of the day from a jar that has, like, just ping pong balls with numbers written on it.
That's amazing.
And this is what, like, one of the most critically acclaimed Western directors is doing on a daily basis, is uploading to YouTube.
See, if you're the creator of a beloved piece of media, this is what you should be doing online. You should not be, like, explaining yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's... If, like, Chuck Wingdings, log off. I have nothing to add.
Yeah, Chuck...
But,
yeah,
like, I'm trying to think of other... What creator has a problem with that?
Ryan Johnson did for a while.
Yeah, but he's kind of distanced himself.
Yeah, I mean, it took years for him to stop. He was still doing it late 2019, and I like his movie. I like most of his movies, and still I'm like, dog, just let it breathe.
I kind of respect, like, the Japanese archer for what they've done. Is, like, when it comes to, like, Kojima, he is very much like the most his social media is like responding to, like, Jeff Keighley's simp tweets and. And also him, like, you can tell when he doesn't like a movie. He'll, like, if he loves the movie, you can tell because he'll write a paragraph. And if it doesn't, it's, I saw Captain Marvel. And then there's the Japanese horror. The guy.
Junji Ito?
Yeah, where he's the nicest guy.
He's cool. I saw that video he put up of his, like, his cat, I think, and it was cool.
Yeah, he is, for, like, one of the most disturbing minds, he has put that into a box.
Yeah.
And then there's also Yokotaro, who, if you, like, reply to him at all, you get a follow.
Yokotaro, like, is surprising to me because, like, his stuff is, like, so, sort of esoteric and impenetrable, and yet, like, his Twitter is just, like, the most straightforward, like, hey, here's this video game I bought that I'm looking forward to playing.
Yeah, it's like, I just found it funny, and we were, like, DMing, he's just holding this copy of Avengers.
And he's just, like, earnestly excited to play it.
And it's the funny thing, we think of these, like, high art dudes playing fucking Avengers. Just like, I am Iron Man. This means nothing about this can be read into other than I am Iron Man, beam go boo. And it's just great. And getting back to Evangelion, I love that that's how he's answered. Like, David Lynch did that with, like, season 3 of Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah. I still need to watch that. I still need to watch all of Twin Peaks. I haven't watched
Yeah. We probably would, if we should, I want to watch that, considering it might win that film bracket.
Yeah. What was it up against most recently? Like,
it's Citizen Kane. It beat Citizen Kane.
Oh, no, today it was Zodiac, which I voted for Zodiac, because that's a good movie. I'm not even a big Fincher guy, but Zodiac.
The only film we endorse on this podcast is the Muppets movie.
I do. Like, of the outcomes that are left, I think the Muppet movie would be one of the better ones. I haven't kept up with it too much, but
yeah, that it's a lot. You have to check his page daily.
Yeah.
I still think like Uncut Gems will somehow make a good run.
I don't know. I don't even know where that is anymore.
No, it's pop. I might need to check, but it was like the dark horse that just kept going. And also, I know like the popular meme accounts are pushing and hard.
Oh, yeah.
And which I would love it if the final four is fucking Twin Peaks season 3. End of Evangelion. The Muppet Movie, Uncut Gems. This is cinema.
Welcome to Kino, folks.
It's just so funny seeing all these, like, niche cult movies, like, just fucking destroying, like, the agreed-upon best film of all time.
Yeah, like children's films and, like...
anime.
Action movies and anime. I do think this is... This is in my top five, and end of Evangelion. Yeah.
It is a lot, and I don't think I will. I need to rewatch it, but not soon. This will be like, all right, I'm watching it. Need to prepare.
Yeah. This is a movie that I only watch when I'm feeling real sad. Usually,
and
for whatever reason, this movie like. Helps. I don't know why.
I was wondering, because you're like, in the end, I feel a little optimistic. And usually me and you end with like a same opinion on this. And I just, because it ends abruptly. Because usually, the, like in Western cinema, we don't get that like cut. It ends. It goes into credits.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, even in Japanese movies, like, usually they're not split into episodes with all the credits in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, my read on this movie is like, because it does have a reputation for being like, oh, this is like a nihilistic sort of like, you know, middle finger to the audience, like, oh, you know, fuck you for ever caring about Evangelion.
Albert Camus written.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. It took me a few viewings to get to that point, but I don't see it that way anymore.
I can see a little, like, pinhole of light at the end, like, this was always gonna be the ending.
Yeah.
There was no way these there was, like, just from the beginning, there was no way these characters had a true happy ending.
No.
There was, these characters are bad people, or are people that are flawed.
Yeah, or whose circumstances have led them to committing horrible acts.
And I think that's why, like, children are picked, is there is this whole thing of the innocence of children. And I think it's important also that they are the age of 14, puberty, which is that switching to adulthood, and you actually see that puberty happen during the show. It is a central part of it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of important for, again, like, those themes of sort of, like, budding sexuality. And I think it's also, like, it's the age at which you kind of start to self-reflect. Like, you start to sort of, like, question who you are and what your place is in the world.
And it doesn't help at the same time. Your body's like, all right, hormone time!
Right, yeah.
We're gonna jack you with the most confusing shit, at one point in time. Have fun.
And on top of that, we're going to put you in a big tube and fill it with orange juice, and you got to go fight that big monster.
And you got to breathe the orange juice.
Breathe the orange juice, Shinji. Yeah, no, I think...
It just made me mad that now I can't go to McDonald's and get the high C orange. Those fuckers took it away!
Never be able to look at Sunny D the same way.
But yeah, I think that it's important that their children... But that doesn't make it comfortable.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. There's a distinct moment that just totally reminded me of the It book. And it's Misato. So there's this distinct moment in Misato when she's after she's shot.
Right. Yes. Yeah. This is another moment that has been like hotly debated over the years.
Where she kisses him and then goes, as her last words to someone who she kind of was a de facto mother figure, is, after this we will do more, like, we will do the other adult things.
Yeah, which is not, it's bad. And I think the
Scooby-Doo cringe.png.
Yeah. And I think, like, it feels in character for me in that she has never, like, been comfortable being that parental figure mother to Shinji. She doesn't know how to reach him. She doesn't know how to, like, get him to, like, take responsibility. And,
like, her main factor of, like, her whole character arc was trying to push people away.
Yes, which is...
And she did that through sex. Boy, does it just...
It's uncomfortable. And it's... I think it's uncomfortable by design, but it is, like...
That's where it's, like, the It moment, where, like, Stephen King kind of... The It moment is when they have an orgy for a group, like, pick-me-up.
Yeah. I think is... I see where you're going with it. But I do think, like, that's on it. That's, like, because that was...
But I just don't agree with the, like, that. I think it is still a moment that is very bad. Like, I would conflate them.
That's fair. I do think, like, I think it's hard to... Because Misato is one of the few characters who comes out of the series relatively unscathed. In terms of, like, moral baggage. And so it is uncomfortable to see her do that. Like, and I think it's debatable. My thought on it is, I feel like she would do that in that moment because she thinks it's, like, as a last resort, like, it's what she has to do to get Shinji to pilot the Eva. But I can, like, I can understand arguments that it is out of character.
And I think that's where I'm, like, I feel like, again, with the It, that's why I relate it, it just feels out of character, and it just feels like, I get what you're trying to do, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's entirely fair.
It just, it's like, using sex as a motivator.
Yeah.
For children.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I feel like as her, she knew it was gonna be her last words.
Yeah.
It feels wrong for that to be, like, her send-off to someone who, at that point of time, was the person she most cared about and who was alive.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing, like, we basically see the entire cast of the show die in this movie, and none of them get a particularly...
Pen-Pen lives.
Pen-Pen is technically alive, in a fashion.
I'm not going there.
But, yeah, Pen-Pen, I mean, like...
He is on an island on the moon because they recently discovered water there. He is chilling. He's fine.
But doesn't it make you feel better to imagine that he's like he's within instrumentality, and at any time he like recognizes his own personhood, he's able to come back? Like I mean, that to me, that's like that's something.
He won't recognize that.
He's
like his instrumentality is just him reading the same newspaper. Pen is easily the best. This fucking show, and I'm not joking. I love that motherfucker.
Pen is the only character who is not in any way like messed up.
Well, he gets a little horny,
a little bit, but he's mostly chill.
Pen can have a little horny
as a treat. We haven't touched on Asuka's story at all in this movie,
and it's easily one of the darkest.
Yes. And it is, like, I mean, I think it's important that she and Shinji are, like, the central characters in this movie because, I mean, for one, her story gets a little bit shortchanged in the series finale.
Oh, yeah, but also, they are also very, as a character, they are very alike.
Yes, yes.
They have no like mother figure.
Highly insecure. Dealing with the baggage of like parental abandonment and abuse.
They're horny.
Yes. Yeah.
And have really uncomfortable relationships with adults.
Yes. And this movie kind of directly confronts like the weird relationship they have in a way that the show doesn't. Or it touches on, but this movie is like full on like. Not healthy.
Yeah, and I think the series ending is very important for the movie because they have that right. The reality that Shinji wants is very. I feel very important.
Yes,
where in this reality, Asuka is his best friend.
Right,
and Rei is his love interest. Where everything is perfect. And that he shoehorns Misato in there.
Yes. And like crucially, he does not want to do the work required to make that situation happen. He's a person who throws a lot of expectations on the people around him and sort of what he wants from them, but he's not willing to pursue it. He's not willing to like put himself out there.
It's just thinking of the me. OMG, it's literally me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this, like, you know, obviously, like, the really bad shit. Like, you know,
yeah.
I had a fairly, like, normal childhood.
You didn't pilot a robot?
No, I didn't go through all this fucked up shit. But, like, sort of the sort of, like, baseline insecurities, I think, hit home for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's, like, the whole, like, you want to have, like, a best friend. You want to have that, like... the ideal life, but you gotta work for it.
Yeah, and of course there's the whole idea that's touched on in an early episode of like the hedgehog's dilemma, the idea yep. that like by putting yourself into relationships with other people, you're inherently opening yourself up to be hurt and to hurt others, and that's unavoidable. And I think that is like the sort of big thing at the center of this movie and why I think that it is a little bit more optimistic than people make it out to be. Because like, and it is, this also feeds into the idea that like this movie was made as sort of a middle finger to the fandom. Basically what this movie culminates in is in my opinion, one of the like best sequences in any movie ever, which is, the third impact. Where Shinji is basically left with the decision of like, what is going to happen to humanity at the end of the world? And he chooses for everyone to just meld into one and to stop existing as individuals and just become like a single like combined soul with no like individual pain or suffering or anything.
Which also ties into the whole religious, which was the like the idea of what is heaven, what is afterlife.
Yeah, and I mean, the end of this movie is basically, like, the rapture, but it gets reversed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, and within that sort of new reality that he creates, he's confronted with the fact that, like, the thing he's trying to make is a fantasy. It's escapism. It's not real. In a way that I think, like, that stuff probably is aimed a little bit at the fandom and sort of what the expectations are for a series like this.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's important that there is that separation of the fandom and the art, because again, and I hate to bring up Star Wars again, but I think it's important to compare this to Rise of Skywalker, which is what I feel like fans want. Like this,
yeah,
is,
that movie. And I like that movie, but that movie is a direct response to, like, everything that fans disliked about the previous movie, and in that way...
It feels like the YouTube video you uploaded, the, oh, everything's cool! No, yeah, consequence!
It feels like a checklist is being, you know, like, they're going down the list of everything that people wanted, getting rid of everything they didn't. And I like that movie for reasons outside of that. I think it's just, like, a interesting, dumb little story that I think is kind of charming. But it's undeniable that that movie is obsessed with pleasing its audience in a way that does not feel conducive to good storytelling.
And I think that the whole, like, you do not have to please your audience. I think that is, you do not have to please everybody. You can make a film that is very abrasive, and you do not get what you want.
Yes.
This is, like, my story. This is what I want to be told. And I think that's what makes it unique, is this was a voice. This was one person's story.
Yeah. And like, a very, like, self-reflective story. Like, again, it's up for debate how much of this is autobiographical. I think only sort of in the emotional broad strokes, because Anno did suffer from depression after his previous project, and sort of this was his way of, like, dealing with that.
He didn't just watch Family Guy funny moments in bed.
There was no Family Guy yet. If Family Guy had existed at the time, there'd be no Evangelion. That would have been enough. No, I mean, like, this movie, and especially, like, the entire Third Impact instrumentality sequence, it is sort of, it's a rejection of escapism, and it's also, like, I think this movie's thesis, to sort of, like, get to the core of it, is that, like, by design, just by the very nature of people, you will get hurt when engaging with other people. You will hurt others. That's an unavoidable fact of life. It's going to happen. But, like, it's not worthwhile to retreat from that.
There is good.
Right. Like, the entire idea of this movie is, like, life is going to suck shit, and you're going to deal with some awful shit, and you're going to do some awful shit, but life is worth living anyway, and and it's going to be hard too. Like, I think, like, that ending is
hard to,
like,
swallow.
It's painful, and I think that's the idea, is that, like, you know, it's just not going to be easy just because you choose to go on, but it's worth doing anyway. Yeah, like that. I mean,
there's
this movie,
that whole moment of the breaking the fourth wall, where with the theater sequence.
Yes, yeah.
That I feel is very important, that this story isn't about its character. It is not about this. There is a message.
Right. It's just like grabbing the audience by the collar and shaking them and going, it's not about the robots.
What did the author intend when writing this?
Yeah, and like, which is not to say that we don't get some good robot stuff in this movie.
Oh, there is easily the best robot stuff in this movie. There is, the Asuka fight is amazing.
it's so good. It's the only real, like, action scene in the movie, but it is the best of the entire series. I think
it helps because of the budget, because there are some just beautiful shots.
Yes, and the choreography is amazing.
And just the death is beautiful.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's haunting. It's like...
It's just gorgeously beautiful and disturbing. And just watching it. And I think that's what it plays on patience a lot, the whole series. Like, there is a distinct moment where there is a 1 minute still shot, nearly.
You're talking about the elevator scene, right?
No, I'm talking about the when he's about to kill Karu.
Oh right, yeah, that one too. Both of those.
Where you are just, that is not you, there is no content. Think. What is happening?
Yes.
You, God, it's so good. It's you so have good. Think, motherfucker. I am not telling you this. Well, I will, but like, for now, can you think?
This is all making me want to rewatch the series. I haven't had time to do it in a while. I was going to do it when it came out on Netflix.
And then it sucked ass.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it at some point. Man, there's just so much good shit in this series.
I mean, you got those Blu-rays coming.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I don't know when those are coming out. Hopefully they
have. And I am preparing to, like, hear the price and go, oh no, fuck you! Because I have not bought anime before and I've heard the prices.
G-Kids is usually pretty reasonable. G-Kids usually, like, they mostly sell movies, but their movies are the price of regular movies.
Oh, that's Ghibli, right?
Yeah, they sell Ghibli stuff. They license animation from all over, like, not just anime, but they are, you know, the standard, like, $20 Blu-ray. Evangelion, I suspect, will cost more, but...
$60 would probably be what I pay.
$60, I think is doable. I think there are plenty of, like, 26 episode series that have come out that have cost $60. The only licensor you got to worry about with anime is Aniplex USA, because they charge Japanese prices for their stuff, and in Japan they only expect to sell like maybe 1,000 of each show, so they price them accordingly.
Oh boy. Limited run anime.
That is what Aniplex does. Like, and it pisses me off because they have a couple of like my favorite series. Like, they have the exclusive rights to Gurren Lagann here in the States, and that show is
they haven't came out with the whole thing, right?
Yeah, that show is 26 episodes, and for the Blu-ray they wanted $500 for it.
What is in that package?
Some CDs, some collectible cards, and a big box.
Oh!
For $500.
So you're buying a Call of Duty Collector's Edition.
Yes, or you could get the standard DVDs that are like single packs, and there were like two of them, or two or three of them for the whole series, that were like $60 each.
Go fuck yourself.
So, like, whenever a series is like up for licensing here in the States, like, if it's a good one, I'm always panicking, like God, please don't let Aniplex get it, because if they do, I'm not getting it.
Or Netflix now, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing here is that apparently Netflix is open to let other distributors put out physical releases for the stuff they license. All
right, yeah, that is, but it's like slowly,
yeah, creeping. It's a trickle.
And also, it has to be the big releases.
Yeah, and also, like, for stuff that's not Evangelion, that's, like, currently airing, where everywhere else, like Crunchyroll and Funimation, they'll put out episodes as they're coming out. Mm-hmm. Netflix will wait for the entire season to finish in Japan and then drop it.
You love those spoilers.
It's great.
I'm past the whole, like, binge-watching is great. No,
like, give me weekly episodes.
Like, yeah, it was great for a time, but it was just, like, now with, like, the pandemic, it's, like, it gives a nice thing to talk about weekly. Because if the Mandal, because we're gonna talk about the Mandalorian of this eventually. We have a plan.
Yeah.
I feel it sound like Dutch. We have a plan. but it just, it wouldn't feel as special if that series came out all at once.
No.
There was, like, it's just nice to have weekly episodes.
Well, yeah, and Mandalorian's not written, it's not written for binge watching.
No, it is, and it is a Western that is like, this is your weekly glimpse.
It is Star Wars Gunsmoke, or Bonanza. Like, here's your weekly episode. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with binge watching for me is, like, once they started writing for the binge watchers, is when the golden age of TV ended.
It's still, it's like on life support at this point, with, like, Better Call Saul.
Right. Like, we have every, like, amateur screenwriter who has tried to pitch a movie and failed because it's not about superheroes has gone to TV and said, well, I could stretch this into 13 episodes. And so we just get a lot of, like, mediocre 13-hour movies that are not very good and are too long. And I miss TV.
Please, take hints from The Mandalorian. You don't have to make an episode 60 minutes.
You don't have to make an episode 60 minutes, and you can make it an episode. It doesn't have to be movie.
Yeah, you can make it, like... Sorry, we're ranting. But I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, oh, I'm here for the rants.
Tangents are part of it.
Yeah. But
we're following our own advice and being hostile to the audience's expectations.
Yeah. But, yeah, just please make the show as long as you want. The episode. Because, like, there are, like, 30-minute episodes of The Mandalorian that are great. There are 50-minute episodes that are great. I think if that 50-minute episode was crammed into 30, or if that 30-minute was stretched into 50, it wouldn't be as effective.
And for God's sake, don't do 70-minute episodes.
Oh, fuck.
Because that happens with fucking Netflix shows, and it's...
Oh, what NBC did with the premiere of This Is Us, where they had a 1.5-hour...
Jesus Christ.
Episode?
My mom
was like, hey, can you turn this on? I'm like, yeah, sure. How long is it? An hour and a half? That's a movie. That is a shittily made movie.
Jesus. Last year, I binged all of Arrested Development on Netflix, and I enjoyed season 1 through 3 a lot, because that's a classic comedy. And then I got to season 4, and I was like, well, this isn't working, but whatever. And then I watched season 5. And there are episodes in season 5 that are pushing, like, an hour? When it used to be a 22-minute comedy?
Sitcoms, you just keep it to 22 minutes.
Season 5 of Arrested Development is one of the worst seasons of television I've ever seen. It is... ugh. If we ever do an Arrested Development podcast... ugh, God. Anyway, end of Evangelion.
End of Evangelion. Yeah, I think also it feels long, like, for a 90-minute movie, and that is not an insult at all.
No, it's dense.
It felt like, wow, that felt longer than it was. I kept checking my clock, and it was like, oh, I still got some time on this.
Yeah, and it feels like a lot happens, despite the fact that it's actually, like, fairly straightforward.
And it's very visual heavy. Look at the pretty things. Look at the cool shit.
Look at everybody turn into orange goo.
And there is also a distinct moment with the scientist and the one nerve agent. Sorry. Supporting characters. Ritsugo Akagi. Is with the one nerve agent that I really loved. Where they coded, it is kind of like where everybody's seeing who they love.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that is such a good... It is the Star Wars kiss done right.
Yeah, and it is a little bit tossed off, but, like, it at least feels like a character moment, as opposed to just, like, oh, look at us, we did the thing, and we're gonna cut it out in other countries, but...
But it feels genuine, because it was built into the series. There is moments between those two characters.
Yeah.
But it doesn't... And I love that it will never be reciprocated.
Yeah. And I will say, I do think Ritsuko as a character gets shortchanged.
Yeah.
In all of, like, everything. I don't think End of Evangelion solves the problems with her character.
Yeah, the mother thing doesn't... would have been better. I would have loved to have more on that.
I think the whole thing of, like, the mother and daughter, like, both being in love with Gendo and, like, the mother choosing Gendo over her, it's kind of lame. I don't think it's, like, I could do
feels
without
soap opera, like...
I could do without it.
Also, Gendo, garbage. Hate him. Please tell
wife.
Me. Why love my wife? But please tell me there is. I can already tell that you're gonna what the answer is. But please tell me there is not a fandom that is like, yeah, Gendo.
No, not really.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, it's,
like I was expecting like the Joker driver, like.
Yeah.
OG
no, I.
Literally me.
It's pretty well recognized that Gendo is the worst. I mean, I'm sure that someone out there is a Gendo stan, but like, I don't think it's a common thing within the fandom. I don't know. I think we've kind of covered the big stuff. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this up?
It is a film that, if you're listening to this, I wouldn't even call this a review. It's really just like first impressions and me kind of deconstructing this. I don't understand it. This is, like, the baseline. I do not understand this film. I am going to read about it, and I like that I don't understand it. I like that from this point forward, it is my job to, like, get meaning out of this. And weirdly enough, I feel that's, like, growth for me, in the sense that my least favorite book of all time is Old Man and the Sea, which, if you've read it, is literally old man catches fish. Old man loses fish. That's it. And it is your job to find meaning out of it. And I fucking hated it. Because I couldn't. And it feels very like, and I read that like sophomore year. And it just feels like me being able to see that and go, I want to understand this, and it is not frustrating me, just feels good. And I feel that media, when you approach it, and I think this kind of gets to the broader problem of the whole, like, what was the author trying to do with this? And I feel like you will get the most meaning out of this if you are willing to approach it. And willing to, like, understand it.
Yeah.
And willing to say, okay, what do I think?
Yeah.
And you will not get a definitive answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that was my big...
That I said something important on this podcast.
Yeah. We accomplished something.
Personal growth. Dick jokes?
I mean, this movie is this is one of the first works that I experienced on my own volition that wasn't assigned to me by school, where like I came away from it not really understanding it and wanting to understand it. And I think like Evangelion it has been a formative thing for so many people, and I think that it is good that it is accessible again. Even with, like, the suboptimal, you know, Netflix translation, I think having it around is better than not.
And, again, I think that's why it would be great for a college class when people aren't forced on it. Like, I don't think assigning this as a high school work would be great.
I think this is one of those things you kind of have to seek out on your own.
Yeah, and that's where I feel like this is why it was important that... Because you always told me, you have to watch it. You have to. And it took me a point where I'm like, alright. Like, I would have... if I had watched it when you gave it to me, I feel like I would have not gotten. I feel like I would have been very hostile to it. But I seeked it out. It was something that I was like, all right, I am ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, this is, I like the series a lot. I have watched it multiple times, but the movie is where it's at for me. This movie is, one of my favorite of all time. I think it's one of the best films ever made.
I'm sorry again for that. It feels very Last Jedi to me. Where on the surface, it feels hopeless, but digging deeper, there is hope. And I think that fits beautifully with what's going on right now. And I hate to get, like, preachy, but, like, right now, it just feels bad. And, like, there is a pinhole of light.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, crucially, the way that this movie kind of speaks to, like, our current moment, and I hate even using that phrase, it feels very, like, think PC, but, like, it's just that, like, very simple, basic idea of, like, you know, things can get better. They might get worse. If you want them to get better, it's going to take work and it's going to be painful, but it is possible to get there. And I think that's why this movie...
When you get there, there still will be flaws.
Yes. I think that is a big part of what resonates for me with this movie. And I mean, I like this movie a lot. And I think if you haven't seen Evangelion, even if you don't want to watch the entire series, I think you can still get something out of the movie on its own.
I think that it's just, if you're seeking out the movie, just watch the series.
To be clear, you should watch the series. But I think, like, if you don't have time to watch the series, I still think there is worthwhile stuff to be taken from the movie.
I still think, like, the reliance on character, you would still be best off
That's fair. But, I mean, second half of this movie is, like, an experience either way.
Yeah, but I feel that experience is enhanced when you know where these characters came from.
Yeah. I am not saying, like, watch this movie without the series.
Yeah.
I'm just saying... You could, and you'd still get something out of it.
You would get something.
Anyway, I think that's gonna do it for us.
I'm surprised we got this under 2 hours.
Yeah, this movie of all things, we went 3 hours on, like, what was it?
Wasn't it Space Jam?
Yeah, we went, like, nearly 3 hours on Space Jam and Cool World, but under 90 minutes for End of Evangelion.
The, like,
wow, even with the tangents.
So meet us next week when we fit Irreversible in under 30 minutes. That is not happening.
You can find me on Twitter at Fawfulator, FAWFULATOR.
Probably don't want to follow our Twitters for the next week.
I don't know. Maybe you do.
When you're in the bunker.
Yeah.
You can find me at Jolson Tweets, JOLSON Tweets. We'll have some takes. There will be takes.
And if you want updates on new episodes and announcements for the show, you can follow the show at SatCinemaPod on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to SaturdayMorningCinemaPod@gmail.com. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Casts, wherever else you find your audio entertainment. And if you would like to help out the show, you can leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or whatever other platform you use that lets you leave ratings.
And if you want to leave a comment and yell at us how we didn't touch about Ray and the mother thing, leave it there.
Oh boy.
We totally missed that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Freud in this movie, but like I said, there was no way we were going to hit everything.
Oh.
But I think covered a decent amount of ground.
Now we basically have nothing planned after this besides a Christmas episode, so we're going to
It out. But, you know, in the meantime...
We have the Mandalorian episodes, which we will be doing in batches.
And God's in his heaven and all's right with the world.
Have a happy election day. I don't know. Hope we don't die.
Race for third impact. Never be able to look at Sunny D the same way.
Which, McDonald's, I know you're not listening, but please, nobody drinks that Sprite shit. Bring back the high C orange. It was a good drink.
If you go to one of the ones, well, I don't think you can even go inside a McDonald's anymore, but when you could, if you went to one of the ones with the freestyle machine, you can get
those aren't the same. The Coca-Cola freestyle machines are garbage. They're bad. Fuck
they're
you.
Fine.
They're not. They don't taste the same.
I like the cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper. I think it's good.
Mm-mm. It's garbage. You have to like make a drink that is tolerable.
I think it's fine.
If you're going to the theater and it's AMC, just get the fucking icy. They don't care if you get the normal cup and get it icy. They don't fucking care.
I will say, when I worked at B's, I did have to clean those freestyle machines daily. And those things got fucking filthy. Like, every day. Like,
what is... You just... I don't know why we need the fucking freestyle machines. It's all some goober. I hope that COVID gets rid of them. We get rid of the fucking touchscreens. Buttons were fine.
I like the touchscreens.
No, they're fucking garbage. They're always broken.
I like the touchscreens with the provision that I don't like that they are replacing people's jobs. But it's convenient. Anyway, end of Evangelion.